I'm Nadia Taylor, Training and Exercise Manager for the Readiness Support Center. And this is Semper Gumby, a podcast about emergency management in the Corps of Engineers. We'll cover topics about disaster response and recovery, FEMA mission assignments, and Corps-specific response authorities under which we operate for things like flood fighting and coastal emergencies. Today we're going to be talking about the National Disaster Recovery Framework and specifically the Infrastructure Systems Recovery Support Function. And we have with us John Belden Quiñones. So John, what do you do for the Corps?
Well, a couple of different things. I am the subject matter expert within USACE for our responsibilities under the National Disaster Recovery Framework. USACE is the coordinating agency for recovery support function of infrastructure systems. Now, there are six recovery support functions currently under the NDRF, and different agencies have a coordinating role. For example, Health and Human Services would be the coordinating agency for Health and Social Services, RSF. USACE is the coordinating agency for the Infrastructure Systems, RSF. So part of my role is to talk to FEMA, the different regions, about how we want to prepare for disasters that would impact infrastructure severely to the point where we'd have to think about long-term recovery. It wouldn't be an immediate response. It'd be something we're talking about months and years rather than days and weeks.
Okay, so let's back up just a bit because I do want to ask you, just give me a brief overview of the National Disaster Recovery Framework, or the NDRF. In a nutshell, what is that?
That is how the federal government will support the states on long-term recovery. We define response as being days and weeks, getting the lights back on, getting the power going again, people being able to live in their homes, people being able to drink the water again. However, in catastrophic disasters like Katrina and Sandy, this doesn't happen necessarily in weeks and months for everyone. Some areas may get impacted so severely that it's just going to take a lot longer to repair things. And then, knowing what we know from certain disasters and with climate change and sea level rise, are we going to rebuild them exactly the way things were, or do we need to think about it harder and make them more resilient? These kind of discussions obviously involve a lot of different stakeholders and, more importantly, take a lot of funding. We may have to wait for Congress to pass an appropriation, which different agencies will have different responsibilities. And, we may have to deconflict some of the overlap that could happen with, you know, perhaps USACE has its own authorities and appropriations to do certain things with infrastructure. FEMA, through its public assistance program, will also have a considerable funding to take care of these. Other agencies like HUD, EPA, DOT may also have it. So it's important to kind of get a good common operating picture at the FEMA Joint Field Office about, you know, what are the impacts to infrastructure, who is responsible or not responsible for them, and what sort of funding is available to take care of these. You know, if we're talking about simple things like small bridges and roads that need repair, I think those are taken care of through other programs fairly rapidly. But if we're talking about major highways and bridges being destroyed by an earthquake, or we're talking about utilities, water and wastewater treatment plants, not being able to function for months because they're severely destroyed, it's going to take a lot longer to get the right people in place and the money in place to plan, design, and rebuild. And so our role in the RSF is to facilitate those discussions for the Federal Disaster Recovery Coordinator, FDRC, who is the senior representative at the FEMA Joint Field Office who is overseeing long-term recovery.
So the time element, it seems, is the major difference there between the NDRF and the NRF, or National Response Framework. Is that a true statement?
That's correct, the time element. And then the other part of it is typically in response, while the plan is to always allow local entities to help themselves first, and then they request support from the state, and then the federal government comes in to support. During recovery, we're talking about these issues and trying to solve these problems because it hasn't been possible for the locals to do it or for the state to do it alone, and even for the federal government to be able to implement it. But ultimately, what we want to do is to get the local communities back into a state of where they can function on their own. And for infrastructure systems, that can be quite challenging because of the amount of money and the timeline it takes to put things back into place. And it's not necessarily a straight line like a project. In project management, we are trying to accomplish a goal, but there's a lot of different activities that feed into it and that are interdependent. So in a sense, the field coordinators, we act as a kind of like project managers to help FEMA and the other agencies involved try to solve the problem when we have so many different activities that depend on one another. We don't want to take, you know, one action, which is basically could end up being a waste of money 1 or 2 years down the road when we could have done it a little bit better in the first place. And there are a lot of challenges when you're dealing with that.
Now, you mentioned the field coordinators, and to parallel, on the NRF side, on the National Response Framework side, we have a broad variety of cadres and teams and positions, but on the NDRF side, we have just the one position, the field coordinators. So give me some more specific examples of what the field coordinator might be doing.
Okay, so when I was a field coordinator at the Sandy Recovery Office, I had a couple of different roles. One of them really is to just kind of answer questions about what USACE's current projects, studies were, and where they were in the timelines. And in some cases, reach back and find out, you know, what some of the milestones happening with these projects, just so that, you know, FEMA and the other agencies could be aware there is a project in this area and it is or isn't related to this other request that's coming through for grant money, to really kind of deconflict and make sure that we don't have duplication of benefits, which is something that FEMA has to seriously consider. But another thing we could be asked is, you know, there's two hats you wear. One is your USACE liaison, but another one is you're just the infrastructure systems coordinator, which means here's a question about a water or wastewater treatment plant that needs $100 million to get back up to not only operating, but operating in a better way, because EPA may now want to rectify a problem that existed before the disaster. It may have been operating under certain conditions that were not in compliance for whatever reason, and now here's an opportunity to correct that. Well, USACE does not have a direct role in that. We may not have authority to repair that wastewater treatment plant, but through our coordination with other agencies, we can certainly contribute our expertise as an infrastructure agency on certain steps that could be taken or efficiencies that could be made in order to get that wastewater treatment system not only operating, but operating in a better way. Both, you know, in terms of what it's trying to accomplish in an environmental sense or more efficiently and all that. So we're bringing our expertise and our experience as engineers and project managers and planners to the table, even when it's something that we might not typically do on our own authorities.
Well, now you say that under NDRF, we're talking months and years, not weeks and months. So how does deployment work for a field coordinator? Is it the standard 30 days? Because that seems like it's a quick cycle for these longer things.
You're absolutely right. And typically what we want is a field coordinator from the home district to be there at the JFO. And a lot of times the work isn't always at the FEMA JFO. It may be meetings elsewhere in the area. In a lot of cases, I ended up working from my home district. You know, the first couple of months, obviously, I was there at the JFO to establish relationships, to make contacts. But then there are times when there are meetings back at the home district that are significant, not only for me to relay what I was doing, what I was hearing, but to take some of that information back to the other federal and state partners. So the plan is to have a ready field coordinator who could go early, but eventually to hand it over to a field coordinator from that local district.
And with that field coordinator, that's their new temporary assignment until the mission is complete, or it's still like thought of as a deployment in the kind of standard sense?
The idea would be that field coordinator may be doing that job as well as other duties within their district. It depends on just how severe it's going to be, how much time they're really going to have to spend. It may ultimately turn out to develop into what we call the small CAP projects, the Continuing Authorities Program. It's possible that that could be negotiated. That's one of the reasons why you want to bring it back to the home district, is that if it is something that could become a USACE project, it's better that it start with someone from the project management or planning divisions of that home district. Or it could be what we call support for others or interagency services, in which another federal agency or even the state or city agency may ask USACE to perform the work, which would be reimbursable. That is, you know, since we're project funded, USACE would need to get funded to do this kind of work. But again, it makes most sense to have that ultimately be negotiated and discussed with someone who is from, who's a local, not only for that reason, but also because a local field coordinator already has established networks, knows the geographic area, knows the political environment, and much better than somebody who's being deployed from the outside. That being said, under a catastrophic scenario, I may have to go somewhere to the Pacific Northwest to help out, and then when things get a little bit more normal, have a field coordinator take my place, because, you know, they're going to be there for the long haul. So they don't necessarily have to be, quote unquote, deployed for a long period of time. The idea is that they could support it virtually or from their home district.
Okay. Well, let's turn more towards the things that we do under the ISRSF. So give me some examples of some of the advice and expertise that we would be expected to give under this recovery support function.
As far as advice, the question might be, FEMA may have received a cost estimate of a certain dollar amount from its applicant in the grant program, that they want to know whether that dollar figure is reasonable or not. And they may want USACE to have a look at it from a cost engineering standpoint. The field coordinator may not be able to do that themselves, but they can reach into perhaps one of our centers of expertise out of Walla Walla District is the cost center of expertise. And the field coordinator would basically coordinate that discussion and that task on behalf of FEMA. Also may be asked about experience in the past in a certain watershed area. USACE may have done a study in the past, may built or not built a project. So cost engineering and GIS are two things that we may be asked to do. We may also be asked for someone who's an expert in levees. And so the field coordinator, well, again, may or may not have that expertise, but may need to go back into USACE and pull out a levee expert to come out with FEMA and the state to ascertain which levees are functioning, which ones are not. And I'm talking about cases where the levees are not a USACE responsibility, but somebody else's, the state or privately owned.
All right. Well, now you said you were a field coordinator during Sandy. Can you tell me about a memorable experience during that time?
I think one memorable experience is that the information that I was bringing back to the district was of a lot of interest to the district commander and some of the senior leadership for various reasons. Just in general, as public servants and engineers, we wanted to know what were other agencies being asked to do as far as infrastructure recovery, and also to make sure that other agencies knew what our capabilities were. So in a sense, I set up with other members from HUD and FEMA, EPA, Department of Interior, and Department of Transportation. We introduced several of the senior leaders in the New York region to each other and gave briefs on what each agency was doing in terms of Sandy disaster recovery. I think it not only hardened some, you know, relationships that may or may not have been established already, but they got to know not only the people, but the programs a little bit better, so that, you know, and this in a sense sort of trickled down to some of the staff level. So now we had staff level relationships between FEMA, the Corps, EPA, and others that were just, let's say, if they did exist before, were now enhanced. So we became more collaborative. As far as activities, we built a big database of projects that were being funded by various different agencies, up to 500 or more. Some of them were a wish list from the states, but some of them were real projects that were already going through their process in each of the agencies. And we tried to identify where they were. Were they, going through a NEPA process, or they being going through a design process, or are they going to be contracts awarded? And so it was kind of a long-term effort to get that information and to put it into something useful for FEMA and the other partners to look at. We want to be able to establish a common operating picture of the infrastructure recovery challenges that are out there.
So, John, I just want to say thank you again. We'll wrap it up here, but I really appreciate your time, and hopefully everyone has learned a little bit more about NDRF and the Infrastructure Systems Recovery Support Function. So, John, thanks so much.
Thank you.
That's all we have for today's episode. Thanks for joining us, and we hope you've learned something. Please subscribe to our feed and check back for future episodes. I'm Nadia Taylor, and this is Semper Gumby.